Again, Matthew 26, on page 986, beginning at verse 69. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him, and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call curses down on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Today we are looking at one of the most familiar events in the Bible. The second event that we're exploring that occurred on the night Jesus was betrayed. Peter had boasted before the other disciples of his loyalty to Jesus. And we read earlier in this same chapter, "Then Jesus told them," that is to the disciples, "this very night you will all fall away on account of me. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." This is, of course, a story of failure. It's a story of disappointment. It's a story of letting someone down who was counting on you. Which means that it's an event that we should all relate to, because we all, in some way, fail. We all, in some way, let people down who depend on us. We fail ourselves. We fail others. We fail God. We all do, and we say things that are disappointing to ourselves, to others, and to God. And we let ourselves down. We let others down. And we let God down. Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter, is a poignant reminder to us that we're only a decision away from failing, that we're only a choice away from disappointment, and only a decision away from letting someone down. But please, don't be discouraged by this. We should be encouraged by this because it's a valuable warning to us. Warnings are good. Warnings are helpful. Warnings help us avoid failures and disappointments and letdowns. Not all of them, but many of them. Now, we're surrounded by warnings, aren't we? Everywhere you go, you see warnings. In fact, if you get in your car and you drive more than a couple of miles, you're going to be bombarded with warnings like wrong way, do not enter, keep right, dead end, bridge may be icy. That's one of my personal favorites. Bridge may be icy. But not all warnings are valuable or helpful. In fact, some warnings are just, you wonder why they're even given. For example, a 5-inch brass fishing lure with a 3-pronged hook at the end warns, harmful if swallowed. Now, I would have never guessed that. On a string of Christmas lights, it says, for indoor or outdoor use only. And on a Nitol sleep aid, it says, warning, may cause drowsiness. Yes. Who knew? On a baby stroller, warning, remove child before folding. And on a household iron, never iron clothes while they're being worn. Now, I wouldn't have known that. That's helpful, especially if you're wearing thin clothes. And a windshield sunscreen says, warning, do not drive with sunshield in place. And then a chainsaw manual has this warning. Do not attempt to stop blade with hand. Ew. That's disgusting. This section of God's Word is a valuable warning to us. It's warning us to be on our guard, to not overestimate our spiritual strength, to resist self-pride and self-assurance. Even in the face of Jesus' sober warning, Peter still failed. He still buckled under pressure, and he still chose to do what he knew would be a horrendous personal failure. The good news, though, is that Peter, though he failed miserably, Peter was not a miserable failure. You see, there's a difference between failing and being a failure. Because if there was no difference, then we would all be failures. But though we all fail, we are not all failures. In fact, Peter would go on to both admit his failure, accept his failure, repent of it, and be restored from it. He would go on to become a pillar of the early church, one of its most significant and strategic leaders. He would become a model of steadfastness and reliability. Now, this same night, Judas also failed, but Judas became a failure, while Peter, though he also failed, became anything but a failure. And we should take great encouragement and great hope from this. Peter is testimony to the reality that though we are all destined at times to fail, and if it hasn't happened yet, get ready, because it will. But though we are all destined for times of failure, none of us is destined to be a failure. So let's look at this passage kind of in an overview sense, and then draw a very important conclusion from it. So Matthew chapter 26, if you closed your Bible, Matthew 26, verse 69, page 986. Now, the setting is a courtyard outside the house of the Jewish high priest, where Jesus is now on trial before the Sanhedrin being the highest Jewish court at the time. Now, Peter, if you'll recall, was in the garden. He was in Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested, and Peter has followed Jesus, and he's now standing outside in the courtroom, or outside in the courtyard, waiting, no doubt, to hear what the results, what the outcome of the trial is. And while he's standing there, we're told that he was approached by a servant girl who identifies Peter as having been with Jesus of Galilee, verse 69. But Peter vehemently denies it. I don't know what you're talking about. Then Peter moves toward the gateway in verse 71, where he's confronted now more publicly than he was before. And the charge is, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. But in verse 72, Peter denies the connection again, and this time with an oath, probably to elevate his defense to a higher level than it was before. But it didn't work, because soon after that, a group approaches Peter in verse 73 and says, surely you were one of them, for your accent gives you away. Now, Galileans had a distinct accent that made it obvious to everyone who heard them speak that they were from Galilee, kind of similar to us recognizing the accent from someone, say, from the Bronx or from London or from Texas. This time, Peter gets hostile, and he starts calling curses down on himself and swearing. Essentially, what he's doing is he's calling God to be his witness of the trustworthiness of his words. And he's saying, may God strike me dead if I don't tell the truth. So this was no small matter. And he ends with the words, "I don't know the man." And immediately following his words, a rooster crows, jarring Peter out of his stupor and revealing his failed loyalty to Jesus. Loyalty that he had just before so passionately claimed. Then he goes out of the courtyard, and we're told that he begins to weep uncontrollably, fully realizing what he had done and the depths of his personal failure. Now, there's an immediate question that confronts us when we read this passage. And the question is, why did Peter do it? Why did he fail in this way? How could he have fallen so far, so quickly? And the answer to this question is not all that obvious, because Peter was so certain of his loyalty, and he was so certain of who Jesus was. Remember, it was Peter who identified Jesus at Caesarea Philippi as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And it was Peter who was with Jesus when he raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. He saw it. He saw Jesus' power in raising someone from the dead. And it was Peter who saw Jesus walk on water and even walked on water himself under Jesus' authority and his power. And it was Peter who heard Jesus say that he would be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, that he would be put to death, but on the third day, he would rise from the dead. Peter heard this. And Peter claimed such loyalty to Jesus that he would rather die than deny his love for him and his loyalty to him. So if Peter witnessed all these things, if he heard all these things, and he had experienced all these things, if his level of conviction and commitment was this high, how could this have happened? Well, I think the best explanation is that Peter was afraid. He was afraid. He was fearful. He was scared. But Peter was not the kind of man that we would have predicted would be afraid. The biblical record paints a portrait of this man as a man of boldness. He was a man of courage. He was outspoken and impulsive. He was a man in charge. We would have never thought of him as being a man who would be capable of buckling under any pressure. We wouldn't have predicted that he would have been fearful. We would have expected him to stand his ground boldly and courageously. Remember, he said, "I would rather die than deny you." So, what frightened him? What scared him? What was he afraid of? Well, I think what Peter was afraid of was the unknown. He was afraid of what he could not predict. He was afraid to take a stand because he didn't know what taking a stand might mean. Even though he knew the truth, even though he had claimed Jesus' promises for himself, and though he was so confident that he was willing to die, he still lacked the ability to see the future from a personal level. And it scared the living daylights out of him. And here is probably where the lesson is most pertinent to you and me. As believers, we know the truth. As believers, we believe the truth. We know what God has promised us in his word, to never leave us or forsake us, to be with us until the very end of the age, that he has secured eternal life for us, That he holds us in the palm of his hand, and no power or event or person can remove us from that secure position and place. And yet we are often afraid ourselves. We often are weak in faith. We often doubt the very things that we have staked our lives on and that we have staked our eternity on. But we're afraid because we don't know what will happen. And that fear causes us to do or say things that we would never even predict about ourselves. And after we do them, we hear the rooster crow. And we think, how did I get here? And yet, it's very understandable how we got there. It's actually very human. And if it could happen to a man of the Apostle Peter's stature, then rest assured, it could happen to you and me. So what do we do about it? Well, Jesus gave the definitive practical wisdom just a few verses earlier, this same chapter, when he said to his disciples in verse 41, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." So when we're faced with betraying our own convictions, whenever we're in danger of denying what we know and what we believe, whenever we're considering doing what we know is a violation of what is right and what is a violation of what God's word declares, then it's a good idea, it's an excellent idea, to stop and to pray that we would not fall into temptation. Not as some magic formula or some hocus-pocus incantation, but realizing that God does not want us to fail any more than we want to. And he will help us not to fail and help us stay true to our convictions. Now, I wish I could stand here today and tell you that I do this myself 100% of the time with all reliability and faithfulness. But the fact is, I don't. Sometimes I succumb too. And it happens when I fail to do what Jesus commanded that we do, and that is to stop and pray that we not fall into temptation and not yield under pressure. So may we be encouraged by one of the most heart-wrenching failures of all time, and yet encouraged by the fact that Peter himself learned from this lesson, and he learned it very well. And if you read the letters that Peter would later write, it's perfectly clear that he learned this lesson so well that it marked him as a man who became extraordinary in his ability to stand firm in the face of temptation and pressure and trial, literally to the very end of his life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, though this is a tragic story of failure, it is also a very encouraging reminder to us that we are all subject to yielding when temptation comes. And here is a man who could not have had any more confidence in his ability. He couldn't have been any more self-assured that he would stand firm no matter what came his way. And yet it was that self-assurance that sealed his failure. Because we know, even as Jesus said, though the spirit is willing, the body is weak. And we too easily, under pressure, succumb to temptation. So we're grateful for this reminder of not only to stop and watch and pray that we would not fall into temptation, but it's also a reminder through Peter himself that even when we do fail, that we can be restored and renewed by accepting it, admitting it, repenting of it, and being restored. So we thank you for the warning. We thank you for the encouragement. As we come to celebrate the ultimate work that has been done on our behalf, as we come to the Lord's table. In Jesus' name, amen.